Sermons from St. Andrews is a live recording of the Sunday homilies preached from the pulpit of St. Andrews Reformed Episcopal Church in Appomattox, Virginia. Following the pattern of the Christian year, these sermons are designed to drive us deeper into the life of Christ so that we might both see the glorious work that He has achieved for us and that we might be changed by entering into Christ. These sermons are presented by Father Damien Grout, who serves as rector of St. Andrews.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, one God. Amen. Please be seated. This ninth Sunday after Trinity, the Sunday of the prodigal son, brings us to one of our Lord's most familiar parables. And I think as we go through, if we're honest with ourselves, I think we can find ourselves in both of these brothers. We can find ourselves in the older brother who sees those who have been freeloading being given credit, being welcomed back with a party. And I think we can also find ourselves in the younger brother who could not stand one more day in his father's house. And it's the younger brother that I really want to focus on here this morning, because we meet him and we see in him something that is very much familiar, if you were anything like me, to our younger days and even sometimes now. This young man grew up in a home, and in this home, he had a father who loved him. A father who knew what was good, who knew what was best, and who went out of his way to protect him from those things that would harm him. But the son, as he's growing up under the authority of his father, he's much like we still are today. He thinks that anyone who represses any one of his desires is somehow harming him. That someone who says, you've got to be careful about what you do, that somehow this is an impingement upon his freedoms. And so today we bring up in our story, in our study of the battle for our souls, we take the fight this morning to two sins that we see exemplified in this young man in the early part of our story. We take up our fight today against the deadly sins of gluttony and lust. Now, let's think for just a moment about these two sins and how it is that they can inhibit and hurt us, kill us, and how it is that they are, using the analogy of our Lord from a few weeks back, how they are beams that block us, that blind us from seeing the truth as it truly is. So what's gluttony? What's lust? Lust and gluttony are both perversions of something that God created to be good and very good. And so the idea of lust, God created us with these desires, desires sexually to be fulfilled within the covenant bond of marriage. And this union of husband and wife is one of the most profound and beautiful things in all of creation, for this is the way in which the relationship of a man and a woman show forth the relationship between Christ and his church. It is a union of love, it's a union of fellowship, and in this union, it is for the purpose of bringing forth fruit. It's about fruitfulness. So this desire, this sexual desire, is good and holy when it is exercised within the covenant of marriage. But when it becomes lust, when it becomes the perversion of the good, it becomes no longer about fruitfulness. It becomes no longer about procreation and the bringing forth of children. It's no longer about giving ourselves for the sake of another. It's no longer about pleasing the other. It's about taking for ourselves. It's about taking these things that God has created to be good and true, and it's using it for self-gratification. So it takes something good and twists it. Just like gluttony. Gluttony is a little bit easier to understand because we all recognize God has created within us a need for food. We need to drink. But what gluttony does, it takes this good gift of God, this good food, and it twists it instead of being a means to an end, instead of being that which strengthens us to offering ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, it becomes an end in itself. And it becomes about self-gratification. It becomes about self-satisfaction. And this is not a diatribe against eating good food or enjoying the feast of the church year. It's about understanding the right time to feast and the right time to fast. It's about learning to live a life of moderation, both in the exercise of our sexual appetites and in the exercise of our bodily appetites. So both lust and gluttony, these are the two sins that characterize this young man. He cannot stand the idea that while he's living in his father's house, his father doesn't let him do just whatever he wants. And so he comes to his father with a demand, and I think some of the more modern commentaries try to take the rough edge off of it. But if you read the church fathers, they know exactly what this demand is. Because he comes to his father and he says, "Give me that portion of goods that cometh to me. Give me my inheritance." Well, put that another way. "I want what I would have from you if you were dead." In other words, "I wish that you were no longer a part of my life and I could have all of this bounty that you have worked so hard to raise for yourself. I want you to give that to me now." And to prove that that's exactly what he meant, what does he do as soon as he gets this money in his pocket? He's got a small fortune in his back pocket and he goes out, not within the land of Israel, he goes off to a far country. And he does what so often we see, even in our own day, those who do not understand, do not live a life that is brought under the control of the Spirit, those who don't understand what is really valuable and where to put their effort, they don't have any set of priorities, this young man does exactly what we might expect. He squanders all of his wealth in this far-off country. But the way that Jesus tells this story is so beautiful and it's so engaging. So let's take it for all it's worth. Because as soon as this young man's money runs out, there's something going on in this far-off land. Do you remember what it was? Yeah, there was a famine in this land. Now think back to the Old Testament. Think back to so much of what we've seen just in recent days. It wasn't all that long ago we were reading the book of Ruth in morning prayer. Think back to how that book opens up, and it opens up to a scene of desolation because there's spiritual desolation in Israel. They have fallen far away from what God has called them to be. And because they have fallen away, what's going on in the land? There is a severe famine. And you see that these Israelites, they have to leave the land. They leave the city of Bethlehem, literally the city of bread, the house of bread, to go out into Moab. Now, that's another story for another time. But you see, when the Bible talks about there being this famine in the land, it's usually not just a comment on the climate in those days. It's significant. Because what's going on in this young man's heart, he went out seeking the satisfaction of the flesh. But with all of this giving himself to lust and gluttony, he isn't made full. He isn't made happy. It doesn't bring satisfaction. Each time he gives himself over to this sin, he becomes a little less of himself. And this life that he had in his father's house begins to wilt away. And this life that he was intended to live as an image bearer of God becomes parched and dry. But even worse than this, what does this young man do as he's in this far-off country in this time of famine? He's trying to make his daily bread. He's trying to earn just a little something. And he hires himself out to a pig farmer. Now, we, as being the people of God, we are called to tend to our own souls, to take dominion by the power of the Spirit over our own souls, to train our appetites, to learn what is true, where true glory is, to learn how to cultivate the virtues, how to become prudent, how to become holy, how to live a life of humility. And as we do this, we find we become what we were created to be. But when we push against this, when we follow the example we see in the younger son of this man, what happens to us? We become unfruitful, and we become, rather than the tending of our souls, we start tending to pigs. And he looks at these pigs in front of him. And what does he see? He sees them eating this horrible food. And yet, his longing is for simply a little something to put into his belly. But the significance of the story comes right here. For we see this young man, as he's sitting in this pigsty, he's recognizing the emptiness of his soul, the famine of his soul, the hunger that is still there, even though he gave himself to every single appetite that he ever had. He's empty. And in this moment, he comes to himself. Using the example of St. Paul there in the Acts of the Apostles, it's like the scales fall from his eyes. He sees what's true. It's like, in the words of our Lord, that beam that was blocking his sight, blocking him from seeing the truth. It's finally gone. And now he sees, and he comes to himself, and he begins to recognize how good he had it in his father's house. But he doesn't come back and say, "Hey, Dad, I know I messed up here, but you need to take me back." He doesn't come back with any sort of familial demands. "Hey, you owe me." No, he's already taken everything from his father and he's wished him dead. But he comes back in humility. He comes back having learned that the abundance of life is not in the things he possesses or in the satiation of his bodily lusts. He recognizes that his daily bread is in his father's house. Now, there's a question that I think is right here in the middle of this story. Because we recognize something that the father didn't have to give him this money. The father had no legal obligation to give his son this money because the father knew exactly what he was going to do. Now, and if we remember that this story of this father in Luke chapter 15 is ultimately telling us about God, I think the question becomes a little more pronounced. God, why do you allow us to go on in these destructive ways? Lord, you could have stopped me. You're the one who can calm the sea and the waves. You could have easily changed my desires. If you really wanted me to change, Lord, why didn't you take away this lust? Why didn't you take away this gluttony? Why didn't you take away this pride? Why didn't you take away this dejection? Why didn't you do this for me? You knew where it would lead. And I think it was C.S. Lewis, in one of his essays, he answers this question in a very profound way. And he says, there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, "Thy will be done." And those to whom God says in the end, "Thy will be done." Now, it's the same words, but it comes from two very different places. There are only two kinds of people in the end. There are those who we seek to be like, who say to God, "Thy will be done," who learn to train our appetites, to train our desires. And then on the other hand, there's another kind of person to whom God says, "Thy will be done." Because Lewis goes on to explain, all that are in hell, whether the hell of eternal death or the hell of this that this young man finds himself in this pigsty, all those who are in hell choose it. I think that really brings this lesson of today home. Because all those who are in hell, all of those who are in misery, all of those, it doesn't mean that we don't go through hard things and that we don't have to learn by the Spirit of God to find contentment and joy, even in the most awful of earthly circumstances. But we need to learn where true joy, where true glory is to be found. And it is in God and God Himself. And so as we go through these days, we go through and we feel like these, we still, even as adults, we feel like these restrictions are being placed on us. How dare anyone come and try to tell us what to do? We recognize what it is that we are called to do as Christians, what it is that we are called to be. We are called to listen to the voice of our Father. We are called to heed His voice and to say to Him as we do each time we pray the Our Father, whether it's in morning prayer, evening prayer, or the Holy Communion, "Thy will be done in me on earth as it is in heaven." So let us today learn to recognize what it is that God says is truly valuable, not to twist it like the world teaches us to do, not to do like this young man in the first part of our story who felt that any restriction of his lust or of his gluttony was somehow demeaning. But let's learn from him at the back part of the story. For this young man, he comes to himself and he knows what is true. He sees what he could not see when he was in the bondage of his lusts. He sees that there is bread and to spare in his Father's house. We are here this morning in our Father's house. He offers us real and true life. He offers us the very bread of life. So let us come. May it be that God, by the power of his Spirit, opens our understanding so that we can come to ourselves and know what is true. And in knowing what is true, or have God feed us in his own house of the very bread of life. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, one God. Amen.
Sermons from St. Andrews is a production of Always with Christ Radio in the Anglican Way.